two,
yum.
One. Ah.
You're slacking, Taylor. Yeah, wow, I'm crying.
You know, one of the great things about Chef and a Fat Man is we promote vitriol amongst the staff. It's kind of a fun thing. And, of course, Marshall fits right in. But, and you know, I got to say, Steve and Daryl, they're too nice.
Thank you.
You know. Anyway, my friends, welcome back to Chef and a Fat Man. You're part of our family, so we have family fun. You know, we just got finished with Taylor's amazing Reuben egg rolls, and we're getting ready to try them as we speak. But, oh, man, this sounds so decadent, so good. Bangers and mash done like it's never been done before that I've ever heard of. So tell us, Executive Chef Amanda.
That's me.
Yes. What in the world did you do to bangers and mash that the Brits never heard of?
Well, beans, but no.
Oh, please.
So this burger is going to be open-faced.
Okay.
And it is a mixture of brisket and short rib and chuck. Okay, so the it's a really fatty, good, delicious, Americanized-style burger. It's pretty amazing that we cooked on the Big Green Egg, so it's got some really great flavor. And I have some patties in front of me because we have to cook that outside, and that took a minute. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to walk you through how I'm going to assemble this burger, and I'm going to have my lovely assistant, Kevin, stand here in ooh and ah for good measure as I go through the process.
I'm trying your
hot dogs. He's already got his mouth full. Yeah, all right. Okay, so here we are. So we've got, check this out. I got everything but the potatoes. Anybody got their hands on my potatoes?
I think that's kind of a personal question.
Where's right there? No, the mashed potatoes. Sorry, we're working. All right, so we got hamburger.
Now, what is the... Now, of course, these recipes will be available
on the website.
Online.
Yep. So, again, bangers and mash is typically sausages and mashed potatoes. We're going to add a burger and some beans to it. Now, the potato part of it is mashed cold cannon potatoes. So this is mashed potatoes that have some sautéed cabbage in them. So we're going to do half of a brioche, the burger patty. We are then going to top it with another layer of meat, which is our bangers.
Oh, man.
Okay. Here we go. Now I have some probably on an egg. No, then I don't know where it went. Sorry, you guys, you have to bear with me here. We lost our mash. But
your
we're
mash?
Working on it.
That's right. Oh, you know.
Right there.
Found the mash. Woo!
The mash!
Magic. Okay.
The egg roll.
So look at that, Kevin. Doesn't that look
great?
Oh,
wow.
All right, so we've got the burger. We've got... I'm going to spread this out for... There we go. All right, so we've got the burger. We've got the sausages. We've got a really hot spoon. We're about to have potato. We're about to put some potatoes on here. Okay. Not that one. See, we really are cooking, folks.
That's right. There's no fakeness on this show.
That's right. And then finally, I got some beans around here. Here we go.
And the interesting thing, to describe British baked beans... Have you ever had showboat baked beans? I mean, where you get a 5-gallon can or a 10-gallon can for like $2.
Ooh.
I mean, the sauce that the beans are in is so loose and so, it is basically tomato soup.
Aww.
With beans in it. That's the way they like their, they wouldn't know a Hormel baked bean. They probably wouldn't eat it. But these beans, and they eat it at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner. They are the most beans-eating people. They used to be. I hear they're backing off. Beanies and, oh, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, very good. But this is an amazing take. And once again, all the recipes that these wonderful chefs do for you, you've got to understand, these are basics. These are their creativity. These are showcasing their talents. But you can deviate this. Let's say you don't like the beans. Don't put the beans on it.
No beans.
You know? And for me, Nathan's hot dogs are good, but they're so salty.
Mm.
I, being from Chicago, the home of the perfect hot dog, Vienna. I saw you make the...
No, the best hot dogs are Pearl Brand hot dogs from Massachusetts.
Ah, please. Massachusetts.
They are the best.
I'm telling you, until you've had a Chicago dog drug through the garden off a street vendor in Chicago, you have
off a what dog?
It's drag it through the garden.
Okay.
And what happened was back in the Depression era, it was so expensive to buy things. So what they did is they would go, people would go to their gardens and make their own pickles. Even in the city, they had these little small gardens because they couldn't afford to buy stuff.
Mm.
And so they'd take, it has seven toppings on it. It has tomatoes. Oh, man. Oh, this is so beautiful. When you see these pictures, once again, this is the part of the show where we must say, we do not.
Amanda's taking a bow.
Yeah.
thank you, my lovely assistant.
Yes. The thing is, we are not responsible for your dry cleaning bill, because when you see these pictures, you're going to go, oh, my God, I got to make this at home. But anyway, what they would do is, so they took cucumbers out of their garden and pickled them,
mm-hmm.
put a pickle spear in there, put a pepper in there. When they, you know, make peppers, they put a pepper in there, celery salt, sweet onions, emerald green relish, all the things that they could make at home. And and so these seven ingredients and wedges of tomato. And so by the time it was done, they call it drag it through the garden, because everything you could grow in your garden was on top of that hot dog. And to this day, they still make it, and it is without exception the greatest hot dog I've ever had. And the quality of the beef and the cleanliness of the facility, it's absolutely amazing. But I digress.
You got to have it clean when you're dragging it through the garden.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Oh, the egg rolls. Well, here we go. Now for the crucial test.
Here's your dressing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
look,
Reuben.
You got the little bamboo bowls, but you know what? I better do it because I'm a dipper. You know, and I know people are going to whine. Oh,
he just had a serious debate about if he was going to dip it right into the sauce or not.
I would have.
I would have. How else would you do it?
Yeah, so you get a little bowl.
What are the options?
Into the big bowl.
Oh.
Yeah,
again,
without pouring it into his own portion.
Well, that's, you know, how we do things around here. So that
now, here's what I like. This doesn't taste like sauerkraut.
He's got string, cheese string coming out of
his
mouth.
It's like Lady and the Tramp between him and the egg roll.
We seen that.
Wow, this is
Lady
amazing.
And the egg roll. That's cute. That's cute. Hey, guess what, Kevin? We're making something else. We got time.
How much time? If I'm trying to.
Enough time for, well, you know, there's so much going on this table, folks. We have, so for our staff meal, because we got to feed everybody because they're so generous to help us out. We have potato skins that have meatballs inside of them, topped with those cold canned potatoes that I was just telling you guys about, and then it's put on the egg and baked. And it's we've also got some Guinness ketchup in the fridge in case anybody wants some that we made. We've got that on the table, and then I am now going to make something while Taylor and Kevin are eating. I am going to dazzle you with my next trick.
This backflip.
That's right. So this is an English muffin that's been grilled. And I've got a burger on there, and then I have some corned beef hash with the potatoes and the onions and the corned beef all chopped up. We put it on the half moon plancha outside, and we just, like a flat top grill, so imagine, you know, Waffle House. We cooked it up, and it's nice and crispy. That right now is on top of the burger, and next I'm going to fry an egg. If I can find my eggs, and I'm going to put that on top.
To your left.
Oh, there it is, right in front of me. If it was a snake, it would have bit me. So, and then top it with the other half of the English muffin.
You know, that's an amazing, and one of the great things about corned beef hash, I love corned beef hash. I absolutely love it. It is one of those things that's a staple when I go out to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
If the place doesn't have it, I probably won't enjoy it near as much. I got to have corned beef hash when I go out to breakfast. But what you made looks absolutely fantastic, because corn, you know, it's basically corned beef, some veg, like onions and peppers, and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you blend them all together and cook them in a pan, they have a happy marriage. Now, the stuff you get at like Hormel's or whatever particular kind you buy, it's very finely ground. This is more rough cut. Mm-hmm. This is more artistic, but it's just as good. And I got to tell you, I like the can too, but that
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, we're not going to agree with you on that one.
No, no, but this is.
Not when we got Taylor making it from scratch, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. When she told me she corned the beef, I'm like, she goes, yeah, I made it from scratch. I go, really? You corned the beef?
Well,
yeah.
On that note, they're a little tidbit of information that's called corned beef because the salt that they used to use for curing was the size of a grain of corn.
Yes.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And the process was known as corning the beef. And a lot of it was used, too, because...
there's a tribe people giggling at you.
I know. Well, when I talk about corning the beef, see, they're from around here, so they confuse corning the beef with the game cornhole.
And so obviously.
By the way, we have outside along with beanbags, and intermittently we play that while you're talking. Folks, when we go quiet, we're out there playing games.
Well, here we go, revealing the darkest, deepest, most depraved thoughts from the beautiful Le Cordon Green Big Green Egg Culinary Center and the corning of the beef. Another thing, too, let's talk about this before we go to break. One of the biggest complaints people have about corned beef is, oh, my God, it is so salty.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they grill it because it intensifies.
Yep.
But there is a way, and it's not very difficult. A very easy way to do it. Basically, you take water, you put the corned beef in it, and you let it sit for no more than 2 or 3 hours max. Take it out, and it leaches the salt.
And that's also why most recipes tell you to boil it before you do whatever you're doing. And a lot of people go, I don't want to boil my meat. But it's going to draw a lot of that salt out because of the osmosis process. It's going to pull all the salt out, still leave that beautiful color, and then you can grill it. So what we did is we grilled it on the egg in a pan with two Guinness extra stouts, actually.
Are you sure they were extra stout?
I'm positive.
How are you positive?
Because I taste tested one.
That's what I thought. Yeah, you know, that's a good Irish girl. What are you laughing about? Oh, man. There is another exceptional recipe from Executive Chef Amanda. We will be having all these pictures posted. The recipes will be posted. And you will be able to, I don't know if you can replicate it. Man, I've had a hard time today. 3 hours sleep, and I'm But these two make such incredible recipes. But the nice thing about it, you can do these at home. You can replicate these at home. Because unlike years past, we haven't had recipes. Now you get the recipes. We even add the picture. You can see it. You can create it. And most importantly, I've had a number of people thank me for all the recipes we started adding. Where have they been? Well, ergo, we have Chef Amanda and LCI Taylor because they understand the importance of recipes. Plus, we have this amazing culinary center. But this, I mean, wait till you see the pictures of these recipes, and you're going to be able to do these at home by yourself. My friends, it's all about food. It's all about having fun. It's all about a celebration of the good life. As we say, celebrate St. Patrick's Day. At the end of March, because of a water line, not our fault. When we come back, we've got more exciting recipes and more exciting banter. Now I'm going to leave you with this trivia question. When was the first Irish marching in the streets for St. Patrick's Day? What year?
1220.
I think you'll be surprised.